you for the next hour. And I just want you to join in with us tonight. And we got people hopefully around the world listening in. And, you know, it seems like the last few days, I mean, just think about it. Thanksgiving was just here, and then the next day was Black Friday, and everybody was trying to get you to buy their product and get you in their stores and pushing a, you know, some kind of TV set or something to get you to go in and do all of that, and the anxiousness and the hustle and bustle of that. And then what was it? Monday. Yesterday was Cyber Monday, and everybody was trying to get you online to do the same thing, and pressure. And I don't know about you, but my emails and my text on my phone just went absolutely through the roof. And everybody wanted you to get on there and buy the best bargain of the season, you know, best sell of the year and all that stuff. And then today was Giving Tuesday, where all the organizations and nonprofit organizations were emailing everybody and texting everybody, saying, hey, this is the day to be able to give, and give us what you have, and spend your money and do that. I want to let you know something tonight. We're not selling you a thing. We don't want your money. We're not after that. That's not what I'm here for. I do want to welcome you into my home and just let you know that this is all free this evening. This is coming from my heart to yours. We're going to have some people that's going to join us tonight that are very special people that have the same passions that I do, the same passions that people that are in this world of trying to help other people deal with the anxiousness and the stress of the holidays. They're going to be with us tonight, and we're not trying to push anything. This is all free of charge. I just want to let you know, first of all, welcome to this video event, and we're Facebook Live, and I think we're all kinds of other things live too, but we're not going to be asking you for a dollar, but we're going to be giving away some things free of charge. So before we get too far into this, I want to let you know that if you go on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook site, and if you like that site and subscribe to that site, it's going to put you in a giveaway. Then we're going to actually give a few books away at the end of the program tonight of my newest book that's going to be coming out in a few months, called Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. So Curtis is sitting right here, my son, and he's kind of working the that site and watching all those come in. And we already have people from the radio show Sunday night that joined that giveaway. And then we'd also like to get you on Instagram, like and follow that. So basically, if you do both of those things on both of those sites, you're going to get two opportunities to get into the giveaways later on. Is that right, Curtis? Am I saying this right? Curtis, give me a thumbs up. Curtis Photobomber here. Come on in. I want, Curtis is right here. He actually has a suit jacket on tonight. So I just want to, hey, we're all. So welcome. You know, I think tonight I want to share with you just a couple things. First of all, we're going to try to spend the next 55 minutes of letting you know a few tips of how to get through these kind of holidays with the stress and the anxiousness. Christmas is not my favorite time of the year. It brings back a lot of memories, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of trauma, a lot of anxiousness and stress in my life. I don't like Christmas lights. I'm not a big lover of Christmas trees, although we've had them all over our homes and all of that. It brings back memories, and I want you to know that there's a lot of people that it may do the same. My decoration this year is going to be this little thing right here. This is my only decoration for the entire house, and hey, I'm going to get fancy. I'm doing this. So this is it for the night and the season for me. So I'm just going to stick it back here on the piano and let you know that is my only decoration in my home this year, joy. But I wanted also to kind of remind me that no matter what I'm doing throughout this holiday season, there's always an opportunity and there's always a side of whatever I'm in and going through to be able to reach and find and hunt. And it's there. I promise you it's there. Joy. And we're going to have three different people here tonight and maybe more have a person in the Caribbean that may be able to call in this evening. I'm looking for a special guest that may still call in tonight, but I'm not for sure. I haven't heard from them this week or from them today. But I just want to let you know that whatever you're going through, we're going to be able to grab a pencil and a piece of paper, and we're going to give you some tips and ideas and thoughts and some maybe stress issues that how to handle things in your life. And, you know, I'll tell you what, this Diet Dew bottle, there was a professor that was in college class one year, and in one of his classes, he held up this glass, and he said, hey, students, how heavy do you think this glass is? And it went all around the classroom, and it was said, 10 ounces, 12 ounces, you know, half a pound or whatever. And the professor kept listening to that, and he finally said, yeah, you're right, it's 16 ounces. But if you hold it with your right hand for 15, 20 minutes, it's going to feel a little bit more than 16.9 ounces. If you hold it for a couple hours, it's going to feel even heavier. But I guarantee you, if you hold it for a day, you're going to have to call an ambulance because listen to this, it's the exact same weight, but the longer you hold it, the heavier it becomes. I want you to catch that. Huddle up here. If you carry your burdens all the time, sooner or later, you're not going to be able to hold that burden up. Sooner or later, that hurt, that pain is going to increasingly get heavier and heavier. And every now and then, you have to put it down. Every now and then, you're going to just have to get some rest from that weight that you've been carrying around. So let's be honest tonight. What are you carrying that you haven't been able to put down for a long time? This last year of my life, since my book came out, Shattered by the Darkness, since this came out, my life has changed. This allowed me to put some of the burden down. This allowed me to release some of that weight that I have been carrying around 30 plus years and to be able to smile again. And when I laid that down, does that mean I still don't have nightmares? Does that mean I still can't sleep through the... Yeah, all of that stuff's still there. But it allowed me that ability to be able to experience rest. And I just want you to know that in the middle of this month, that may not be good memories for you. That may be a lot of stress for you, a lot of pain, a lot of trauma, a lot of anxiousness. And we're going to talk about some of those things. My wish for you this season is that in the next few minutes, I'm going to be able to show you how to put the weight down just for a moment or two, just for a week or two, just maybe for an hour during that one moment of Christmas Eve that maybe rushes back, that one moment of grief of you losing your daughter or your son through death, or losing your husband or your wife. We're going to try to show you how to just put that down and experience rest and relax. And that's what I'm hoping we're going to be able to do tonight. Now, if you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, have any comments, feel free to, are we able to do that right now on Facebook? Okay, it's Facebook Live right now. Curtis is sitting here watching your comments and if people are on here or not. And if you want to send a question or a thought or a comment, feel free to do that. And every now and then, Curtis will raise his hand and say, hey, we got a question for somebody. So put your first name or whatever that is and say, hey, here's my question. And we want to answer that for you too. Here shortly, we're going to have some people join us. and just give us their favorite tips, how they've handled hurt and pain, how they were able to overcome some things in their own personal life and be able to share that with you. So one thing I want to let you know before our first guest tonight is that you don't have to do this alone. There's nothing here that tells you that you have to be enduring all of this pain by yourself. Matter of fact, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm a believer in God's word. And that got me through a lot of tough times in my life. And God's word tells me I never will be alone, that he's always with me. I want to let you know that you're never alone tonight either. And if you need help, we're going to be able to give you some tools to be able to get that help. And I'm going to give you some numbers and some emails, and some addresses and websites later on too, that you can be able to get on and receive that help also. I want to let you know that there's four things that you can do that can motivate you when you go through anxiousness and depression. And in that, these four things, and this is researchable evidence, you can find it right online, it's all been researched and been studied, that 79% of the people were motivated when they did this one thing, when they actually done something. They cleared out a drawer, they accomplished a task, and they were there. I'm going to keep going on these four things that you can do to be able to overcome anxiousness in your life. And the first one is to do something. Find a simple task around the house to be able to do, to be able to accomplish that. A short amount of time that will make you feel successful. Organize something. If you need to exercise a little bit, a small project, a household chore. But 79% of the people that are feel anxiousness and stress in their life during the holidays need to find something to be able to get active in. So the first word I want you to write down is do something. No matter how big or how small, do something and you're going to find that anxiousness relief. The second thing is that 62% of the people that were polled found out that if you create something, it motivates you to be able to get out of that stress too. So create something, baking, yoga, watching movies, reading a book, sports, walking in nature, scrapbooking, something like that. So do something, create something. The third thing that that helps you to discover and overcome your anxiousness during the holidays is to give of yourself. And 53% of the people have found comfort in doing that. And then the fourth thing is to connect with somebody in relationships, and that helps motivate you. So do, create, give, and connect. One thing we also want to let you know about, that if you're looking for a quick, easy gift that I really believe in, this is a friend of mine that I really would like to I had it sitting here, and I always try to promote this book, even though I'm not trying to sell anything. This is an awesome Christmas gift for your friends, and it's called My Body's Mine. I'm going to put that up next to the camera so you can see that by Kayla. Kayla's been a guest on the program on the Shattered by the Darkness on Sunday evenings at 8 o'clock Central Time. And she's just a wonderful person from Austin, Texas. And I talked to her just a while ago and asked her, hey, would it be all right if I have some downtime or I need a couple minutes or two, that I can just promote your book? And she said, absolutely. You can get on Amazon and My Body's Mine. This would be an awesome Christmas gift for any child in your world. I'm going to go ahead and keep on going. And if we can get Terry set up and where she can hear us, we're going to go right into that. There's a list of 10 things I want to share with you tonight. And we may not get through all 10 of these, but we'll before the hour's over. How to deal with the holiday blues. And here's the thing. Some people can't tell the difference between anxiousness and depression, and between just being down and having a clinical situation to where you need help. And I think there's some issues there. Depression, what it looks like, is that it goes through some deep, heavy, sometimes even anger outburst, especially with men. But both sexes can experience that. Anxiousness also looks like hyperactivity, and especially in children. And I see Terry, but I can't hear her yet. She apparently can't hear me, so we're seeing her. Okay. Curtis just got a Facebook thing that said he wants me to thank Kayla Watson for entering the contest and for her lovely comment, and saying thanks also to Christine Domino for her uplifting comments. So thank you for those two comments on Facebook Live. So we appreciate that. And thanks, Curtis, for letting me know about that. But here's 10 ways to be able to deal with your holiday blues. So you may want to jot these down too. And when Terry's up and running and can hear me, Terry, just go ahead and start talking, and we'll get you on. Number one, I want you to feel your feelings. And the only way out in this anxiousness and stress and depression during these holiday times, the only way out is through. Okay. So setting still, getting stuck is when the problems start coming around in your life mentally, getting stuck. And you don't want to be in that position to where you're not moving at all. So we're getting to the point of when you want to overcome that hurt, you're going to have to go through that. So you want to make sure you feel your feelings. And I personally think the best way to feel your feelings is to journal them and do that. The next thing is not only to feel your feelings, but open up to others. And in that, I want to let you know that you don't have to face this alone. Open up to somebody else, journal, write things down, write your feelings down. I've been talking to a couple of people, and I think they're probably listening tonight. I hope so. One from Chicago, the other one from Phoenix, Arizona. And if you're listening tonight, I won't mention your names. But thank you for joining. I want to talk to you again, and we'll touch base again on the phone. And I've enjoyed that time of chatting with you on the phone. And I've encouraged both of them, like I will you tonight, that you write down your thoughts, you journal those thoughts, you get all of that stuff out. And because sometimes that is the only way to be able to face this is to go through it and realize that you don't have to do it alone. Number three, meditate to quiet the thoughts that torment you. Now, I don't know about you. I have thoughts that come to me a lot during the holidays, that I have to push aside and try to get them simmered down. And there's different ways I do that. Sometimes it's to be alone. Sometimes it's to go out at a restaurant, like I did at Thanksgiving. And I haven't told anybody this. I was invited to several different people in our church's homes, but I spent Thanksgiving alone. And the way I dealt with what I was experiencing during that day was most of it was up, but there was a time that I kind of went down in a lull a little bit. Is I went down to Denny's restaurant, and I got in, and that place was packed, and I got one of those skillet slam. I love those things, a skillet slam. And in that, I was looking around the room and watching all these families that were getting together and having a good time. And there was one gentleman that was by himself. And I just asked the waitress if it'd be okay if I pick up that person's tab and to buy the meal. I always try to buy a meal or two at Thanksgiving. And that helps me to be able to help somebody else out and to meditate on some things that are going to help me get through that day. And that helped me at Thanksgiving. I think it's probably going to help me again at Christmas, too. So feel your feelings. Open up to others. Meditate to quiet the thoughts that torment you. So right now, if you were going, as we're going into this month of December and heading pretty darn fast to Christmas, what's some of those things that keep reappearing inside your mind? I remember the first Christmas that I was abused when I was 4 years old. I remember that vividly. I talk about it vividly in my book, and I think I know everybody probably here online has heard my story, so or read the book, so I don't need to go into that. But I remember those moments. Christmas lights reminds me of that trauma, of that abuse. I don't know why, but multicolored Christmas lights trigger me more than white flickering lights, than a gold tree, or some of those other things. But those big old-fashioned bulbs that now is making a comeback, the multicolor, triggers that emotion. So when I see that, I automatically have to meditate on things that will overcome that feeling of torment. So, and you can't overcome it unless you claim it. So I see it, and then I go, okay, that's it. That's one of those issues, and I try to overcome that and get past that. So I meditate to quiet the thoughts that keep reoccurring. And you can meditate on different things. Try to think of positive things. Try to, one of the most positive things in my life right now that has happened is my newest little grandchild, Karina, just a adorable, Curtis and Melissa's daughter. I went over just the other day, and I called and said, hey, can I come by and just let Karina, can I just hold her for a while? And I needed that fix. I needed that innocence to be able to just to hold something so pure when there's so many things going on in my mind that are raging against itself. So find something that will unlock that trigger that can set you off. And a walk in nature, a walk outside. While it was a beautiful day here in Houston today, just to walk outside and to feel out what's going on. And, you know, and that may help you. I'm getting another little here. Oh, we got a question from Nisha. I recognize your name, Nisha. I believe you're one of the people that's emailed me. Maybe not, but it may be another Nisha. Oh, good question. For someone new to journaling, what are some ways to get started? Now, I'm enough with this, okay? I've been journaling all my life. Matter of fact, I tell in the book that I had cases of journals every year that disappeared out of my closet as a child, and I would give anything to have them back. This is my favorite thing to be able to do to get over that, is to go buy a brand new journal and just start writing in there your thoughts, your feelings. And we're going to talk about that a little bit on the other side of this, but I believe we have Sue. Can you hear me, Sue?
Yes, I can. Hey, Greg.
Yay. Okay, Sue Ford White is from Nashville, Tennessee. Is that correct, Sue?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I want to tell you what, she's a friend of mine, but we've never met. Matter of fact, this is the first time just today when we were practicing on here, Sue, on Skype, that that's the first time I think I'd ever seen you. We just talked on the phone a couple times, and most of the time it was email. But before I get inside of that wonderful brain of yours and wonderful training that you help so many people with, tell me what you do, what you love, what is your passion in life, and how would people know of what you do, and how can we get on that site? And make sure you tell us the site, because I want everybody to get on that tonight. Go ahead, Sue, and welcome.
Okay, thank you so much, Greg. So I'm the executive director of Our Kids, and we are a medical clinic in Nashville, Tennessee. We provide medical evaluations and crisis counseling in response to child sexual abuse. We evaluate over 900 children a year. It makes us one of the largest clinics of our kind in the country. And my personal mission is to serve God and to help children and families. And so I'm in the perfect spot to do that. And because we have 32 years of experience, and because we understand the dynamics of trauma and child sexual abuse, and we've heard so many caregivers talk about their own history, and that sometimes in this clinic, you know, an appointment here is not a 20-minute medical transaction. It's an hour and a half to 4 hours, depending on what else is going on in the family. And from our experience, and Greg, I know you know this, when you give a person time and space, when you sit with them, meet them where they are, and dignify their feelings, that's where healing begins. And people, sometimes it takes them a while to de-escalate, and sometimes they can't believe that we really want to understand their story, what they've been through, and what they're feeling right now. And so when that happens, anything is possible. Anything good around healing and restorative everything is possible. So we felt like this country does not understand the prevalence of child sexual abuse. It is epidemic. And we really felt like as a clinic and as experts, we felt like we need to give this country a gift. Our only goal is to reach as many people as possible with information and resources about child sexual abuse. And so a little over a year ago, we did a national campaign called whatifitoldyou.com.
Drop that down so we can see it. Yeah, it is.
So, yeah. So it's, we had this wonderful videographer, Mac Perkle, with Creative Communications, worked with our staff for a year. And to really understand why we do the work, why our services are so crucial to these children and these families. And he did it. And I said, I want an anthem video, something that we can push out. So he created a 2-minute video. We branded it, What If I Told You? Because that's the lead in for so many of these caregivers who have been carrying the pain and the stigma and the suffering. They've been carrying pain for years and years and shame that shouldn't even belong to them. And so these other wonderful creatives in Nashville did a design-a-thon, and in 14 hours they created a website. So this 2-minute video is embedded. The website is whatifitoldyou.com. And we have national resources. I need help. I want information. I want to share this information. And so if a child is just as close to you, if you're worried about a child, if you need to find a child advocacy center in your community, there are 881 in this country. And wow. These national links, Greg, you click on it, you put your zip code in, and it pops up. Same thing if you're an adult survivor and you're ready to get some support, to get some help. The same thing, we're linked to Psychology Today, we're linked to National Board of Certified Counselors and some other things. Same thing, you click on the link and you put in your zip code, and people that are experts, that specialize in working with adult survivors, you can sort of see who's closest to you. And I guess what I want to say is it's been the most, the spirit of this is so generous, and yeah. It's been beautiful. We've heard from people from Boise to Baltimore, Anchorage to Jacksonville. It's been a wonderful experience.
I'll tell you what, Sue, I played that video, What If I Told You, to a live audience that I was speaking at the Tropicana Casino in Las Vegas when I was out there several months ago. And the response was overwhelming. And you cannot watch that video without it reaching out, grabbing your heart and go, I have you now. Because that's exactly, Sue, what I was telling myself year after year. What if I told you? What if I said this? What's going to be your reaction? And it's a beautiful video. So I encourage everybody to get on there and look at that. And I understand what it's going to be played at New York
So we were invited by some people in New York. They had some billboards at 42nd Street and 7th Avenue today. And so they put up some images. They put up the logo, whatifitoldyou.com, and they put up the image of all these children and adults. It's one in, because what if I told you one in four girls and one in seven boys will be sexually abused by age 18. So we've gotten some, you know, our only goal is to just push people to the website, encourage them to watch this video. And the voiceover is so beautiful because it talks about some children, you know, some children don't tell for a week, a month, years. Some never tell. Some do. And when they do, it's a weight lifted. And at the very end, it says, believe and protect the child, embrace the adult. They are courageous. It's never too late to heal.
Oh, that's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I just want to encourage everybody to get on there and watch that. And, you know, the neat thing about that video is, and just like what I think we're doing tonight, it covers every age category. It covers every economic class. It covers every color of skin.
Yes.
It covers everything. This is such a problem, and I know you know this, Sue, that we haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg. That one in four and one in seven statistics aren't even close to how many of our children are being abused daily in this country.
I totally agree with you. I really do. The other thing that's important about this website, we have taken a lot of the Our Kids collateral pieces, rebranded it, What If I Told You, and it's things like how to talk to your children about child sexual abuse, how to keep kids safe online, and some of the truths about child sexual abuse. 95% of the time, the abuser is someone that's known and trusted and even loved by the family. You know, children rarely, thank God, children rarely have injury because the perpetrator doesn't want to hurt the child. They don't want to lose access to the child. It's not like adult sexual assault.
Right.
Normally, I mean, I tell staff, if it's the coach, the minister, or the teacher, come into my office after the family leaves. I want to know. It's usually not that, you know, those are high-profile cases. It's usually not that. And children, you know, really are so confused and frightened that many times they don't tell for quite some time. But when they do, it is a weight lifted. And what we tell parents is, one of the most important things will happen, but one of the most important things is that you get the message across to your child. We're on the same team.
Right.
If anything right. ever confuses you, scares you, or makes you feel icky, you can tell me. You can come and tell me. It's okay to tell me anything.
Right.
That's the key.
Now, Sue, we're going to have you on the Breaking the Silence program, I think, in a few weeks. So we're going to go into all of this in such deep. We're going to drill down really deep into all that. And I can't wait to have you as a guest on that program. I think it's December 22nd or somewhere around that time, the 15th right. or something. Since this is about the holidays, Sue, so over your years of experience, how do we offer hope to people that when even the time changes and it starts getting darker earlier, that can trigger the stress. What kind of tips do you have? What's a few of your favorite tips or tools, techniques of what you share with your clients of how do you get through these holidays alive, sane, and making it through? What do you offer?
So I think that, first of all, I'm a little distracted because I see Joy on your piano.
Yeah,
and I always believe in choose joy whenever possible. I have a big joy flag over my fireplace right now. So I love that. I knew we were kindred spirits. Yeah. So I want to answer that. I think that it's, for me, it's, I get it pretty simple. I get it down to like the basics, and that is slow down.
Slow down. Okay.
And make sure, you know, breathe.
Okay.
And
breathing is important.
You know, because sometimes we're going so fast and we start getting anxious, and all of a sudden, if we drop into our bodies, we realize I'm not breathing deeply at all. You know, am I okay right now? What's working for me right now? Let me breathe and give my body the message that I'm okay. And I really believe in the power of positivity. And I think that when we can find even one person that's a positive person, that is someone that's encouraging, non-judgmental, encouraging, positive, that's always good medicine, Greg. And I'm a big believer in, I like to be outside, even if it's bad weather. I like to be outside, and I like to, you know, sometimes people say, move your feet when you pray, you know, and some people don't believe in prayer, but some people believe in meditation. Right. I think that movement and that thinking about, I'm going through a painful time right now, that's not the whole picture. And that's not my whole story.
That's not who you are. What happened to you in the past is not who you are today.
That's right. That's right.
It does not define you in the future. And people get stuck, like I just mentioned earlier in the program. When we get stuck, that's when toxicity rushes in. It has a chance to seep through everything that we're thinking.
That's right. And I think, keep watch over your thoughts. So look for the littlest thing that brings you joy. And it could just be looking for an evergreen tree outside, or going to get some gingerbread cookies. Or I had this really great encounter with this cashier at the Piggly Wiggly last night. And I was just buying some cranberry juice. And so it was like $4.03 or whatever. And he goes, oh, I've got those 3 pennies for you. And I was like, well, I think I may have 3 pennies. He goes, no, this is a moment for me. I want to do this for you. It gives me joy. And I looked at him and I said, thank you. I will receive your kindness. And he goes, the joy that I'm having right now, he said, this fuels hope for me. And I was like, wow. I said, that's true.
That's great.
So it was just a little moment, but all of a sudden we were two humans, and we were having this really sort of a lovely, simple transaction. And all of a sudden I looked at him and I said, you're right. I think I need to double down on kindness.
That's great.
You just did this really sweet thing. And it sort of slowed everything down. And I thought, you know, love is a practice. It's not a competitive sport. It's just slowing everything down and looking for signs and wonders.
Fantastic. Well, Sue, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And if for anything, I found out there's still Piggly Wigglies that are open. I thought they are. So that makes me happy, because I remember Piggly Wiggly when I was a kid in Illinois. But that's just wonderful. Thank you for being with us tonight, Sue. I'm looking forward to having you on in a few weeks. And you've made my night, and you've brought me joy tonight just getting to hear you talk and share. Go ahead.
Okay, one more thing. I want to quote a slight little thing by David White. Inhabit this place as you were meant to. Be astonished by your abilities. Be the quiet, robust, blessed saint your future happiness will always remember. You are already that blessed saint.
That's great.
Thank you for your work, Greg. You are so brave.
Well, so are you. I appreciate that. And we have kindred spirits, and we'll be doing something together someday all over the country on the stage and doing just keep being the champion you are. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Okay. Bless you.
Bless you. Thank you.
Bye. That's
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Good stuff. And if you want to get on that site, it's whatifitoldyou.com. So we'll make sure you get in on there and join us. Another thing that as I go through these 10, and then we're going to maybe have another guest here shortly, is first feel your feelings, open up to others. Nisha had a question. I didn't get to answer the question. Okay, I'm going to do what Sue just said. Slow down. Okay, we're fine. How do you journal? How do you start journaling? I wish I could run over here to my stack. I have a stack over there behind my Eeyore, behind my recliner over there of journals. And I love buying a brand new journal. And you can get them so cheap at Barnes & Noble or Half Price Books or Walmart. I love getting a brand new journal. And I love just starting to write in it. And just, okay, this is Nisha, what I think the best way I know how to do. If you've been hurt or traumatized, in that first page of that journal, find one event that happened to you as a child or whatever trauma that you've experienced. Start writing that down. Don't just write down the date and dad came in and hurt me. No. Write down what you remember. And I'm talking about every little detail. This won't be easy, but it's not supposed to be easy. We're trying to get those things out of you, okay, and put on paper. This is just for you, nobody else yet. Start writing those down. What did you experience? And I want you to tell in that journal the time of day, the things you smelled, the things you felt, the kind of environment you was in, what you were wearing, what did the room look like, what did the couch feel like? Was it green? Was it black? Was it brown? Was it suede? Was it leather? Was it a bed? Was it a floor? Was it, you know, whatever. But write down everything. And then slowly go into the abuse and the hurt and tell in every detail that you can. When you're done with that, just close the book, okay? The next day, open it up and see if there's anything else that you can add to that. Okay, oh, I remember a cologne. I remember a candle burning. I remember the crack in the wall. I can remember as a child the color of the drapes in my bedroom. I can remember how many squares they were on those drapes. I have OCD now today, and I count steps and things of that order, and that may be the reason. But there's something in that. When I started doing that, it freed up a lot of stress in me. And then just close the book and open it up the next day. Eventually, I want you to keep adding to that with another event or maybe the next one that you remember and keep adding to that. And then eventually, I want you to find a friend, someone that you trust, and let them read one page and see what their reaction is. If their reaction's not welcoming and not what you wanted, don't ever let them read anymore. But if it's something that you can share, you have just started a journey on telling your story, possibly to the world, and that can change your life. It changed mine. I am not the same person I was a year ago. I'm not even close. And I want to apologize to everybody from my son right here, to everybody that I've ever had a relationship or a friendship with, all the way back to high school, because I was a different person than what I am right now, and telling that story and getting that stuff out on the page. And Nisha, if you're the one that's been contacting me, if not, please email me, get on shatteredbythedarkness.com website, find my email there, my phone number there, and reach out. And I want to show you more about on that journaling. Okay. I believe we have another guest with us. So, hi, Annie, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good to have you. We've had trouble with people hearing and getting through.
I noticed. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and you look beautiful, Annie. Welcome. Welcome to Hope for the Holiday.
I would like to agree with what you just said.
Okay.
You are a very different person than you were when I met you 8.5 years ago. You're very different.
Well, I've always been different.
You're still quirky, but you're much easier to be around, shall we say.
I appreciate that. That, or I guess I should say, well, what was wrong with me several years ago? Never mind, let's not go there.
You're just different.
You know, Annie is my, and I don't want to get emotional, but my adopted mom, and she's not any blood of mine at all, just a member of our church. And you have brought so much light into my life. And in the middle of all that light that you share with others, you've experienced a lot of darkness, a lot of things that have happened into your life of grief. And I want you to just, in a nutshell, just share with us and the world what has happened in the last few years that you've had to handle, Annie, in your life.
Having to handle it sounds like there was something I could do about it.
Right, good point.
I've walked through a long valley beginning in 2001 when my sweet daughter-in-law passed away of breast cancer at 34. And she left a six-month-old baby, a four-year-old girl, and a six-year-old boy for my son as a widower to take care of. So as a family, we gathered around and helped. And it was a pretty deep valley. And then 10 years later, our oldest son developed cancer and he passed away in 16 months, leaving a wife and three sons. And then 6 years later, our daughter passed away of cancer, leaving three daughters and a husband. And 3 weeks after she died, my husband died of cancer. So I've been through a lot of loss. Some people would say, this must be the story of Job. Why would God let so much happen to one person?
Yeah, one family.
I don't see it that way.
Okay.
I see it as the privilege I had to be given the joy to be Jim Hickman's wife.
The joy, there it is.
To have three beautiful, wonderful children with him.
Yeah.
Who were nothing but blessing to us. Who learned to love the Lord and serve him as Jim did. And so the blessing of living with those people in this life, when, oh, I hear such tragic stories about so many people.
Yeah.
And it was blessing for me. And so who am I to say that those people could not stay on this earth with me 100 years?
Right.
Odd times when we come and when we leave. I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah.
And so in walking through that, the one founding principle for me is that my faith is the anchor with which I live life, and always has been since I was 13 years old. Been through other traumas, not quite as heavy as this, but having an anchor of faith makes rock solid hope secure that although my loved ones, my family members are not here to celebrate holidays and birthdays and whatever comes, they're not here. I know exactly where they are.
Yeah.
Because they had a strong faith too. And so knowing that they are not just gone, as some people would refer to them, knowing that they're not just floating beings somewhere, but that they are in a place that has a name with a God who loves them, mm-hmm. gives me secure hope.
And so with that hope, Annie, and I believe in that hope as you do, how do you experience the empty chairs at Thanksgiving and the times of roller coaster up and down that you have to go through during the Christmas? For the everybody that's listening tonight, what's a tip or two that you can say, hey, I've learned through the fire, how to endure and how to make it? What would you offer?
I would say turn to others.
Turn to others. Okay.
God supplies our needs, And our needs are for other human beings who understand. Some people understand better than others. I have a widow friend that's just been a friend for 2 years now. And sometimes when the grief truck hits, that's what I call it. It comes around the corner. You don't know it's coming. It's unexpected. Yeah. It may be a song or music, something someone says, whatever. And something touches a chord in you, and that sadness comes on, that loneliness, that loss feeling. But you can't stay there. But I realize you must admit when it comes. You can't deny those feelings, because that makes you, when you cover up, it makes you become a different person.
Right.
And so you close in if you deny that those feelings are real.
Okay.
So I call my friend, her name's Elisa, and she had a similar loss not long ago. And she calls me when she's having that grief truck hit. And we cry together and we talk about whatever the deep pain is that we're feeling that day. Mm-hmm. And somehow it's lessened. I can't explain why that's true. But when we call each other and share with each other, it seems to lift the sadness. And so that's one way that I deal with it. Another way is to concentrate not on me, but on my family.
Okay.
I still have a large family. All those people I named are still in my family. They're still getting married, having babies, having birthdays, all the things that families do. It's ongoing. It didn't stop when we said goodbye to those loved ones a couple of years ago. So I have birthday parties at my house. We get together for holidays. On this Thanksgiving, several families were gone to other places. So I had four people for Thanksgiving, including a lady from my church whose family could not come from out of town. So we had a good time. We laughed and talked and visited with each other. We did not sit around in our own homes and say, it's just sad, nobody cares about me.
We
didn't do that.
Right.
So when it is a holiday time and it's likely that there will be sadness, both in my grandchildren, all nine of my grandchildren have lost one of their parents. That's very unique in families.
That is.
So when it's holiday time, we either collectively or individually, we kind of do the same patterns. We make cookies. My college granddaughters will be home the week of Christmas, and the first thing they're going to do is come to my house and bake cookies all day, because that's their memory from growing up.
Right.
When we gather as a family on Christmas Day, we will go to each other's churches on Christmas Eve as much as we can, depending on the timing, and be with each other then. On Christmas Day, we will gather together. Almost always, we are together on Christmas Day, no matter what else happens. Okay. And we have brunch. We play a game of a white elephant game. We laugh and talk and catch up with each other. I'll tell you a little scenario that happened the other day.
About 1 minute, Annie. Go ahead.
Two family members were here talking. And we were referring to my son, Paul, and some funny things he said and did years ago. And we were sitting at the table just a couple of days ago laughing about it. And it happened 12 years ago, laughing. And I said, wait, do you realize that we are not sad? We are sitting here talking as if that just happened yesterday. And it was funny. And it was involving three people that are no longer on this earth, and we were just tears streaming down our face laughing at how funny it was. That's just been 2 years.
That's
a healing that God has done, because we moved forward. We didn't stay back in our grief and wrap it around us like a coat.
Right. So there is hope on the other side of this sometimes.
Yes. There is.
Thank you, Annie, so much for sharing. And for being my adopted mom, the adopted grandparents for my children. And Curtis, when he saw you earlier, he said, hi, Grandma.
You straighten up.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, and we'll be in touch with you soon. And thank you for spending the a few minutes with us tonight. Okay, dear?
Welcome. Thank you. Okay,
thank you so much.
Bye.
Yeah, a few things that I want to kind of just finish up with as we close out, because I don't know if we can go long or not, but we're probably going to a minute or two. But hey, thank you. On number four on my 10 list, because I want to make sure I get through these 10, at least we can get through this list before we end up. Like Andy said, maybe hang on to those old traditions, but try to start a new holiday tradition instead of sometimes focusing on something that possibly that one person was always in charge of. Try something different out of the mold and out of the hat that you never tried before. Try some possibly light therapy. There's nothing wrong with therapy. Try to find a good counselor, somebody that you can talk to share with, number five. Six, make a gift. Creativity can be very therapeutic. And I was talking to one of the folks that I've been talking to online and on my cell phone from Chicago. And I encouraged them to get into a different type of artist work that they were involved with and try your hand at writing. And that seems to be helping there. Get moving. Exercise is always good. Get outside, even if it's kind of cold. Nature heals. Treat yourself. A little self-care can go a long way. So don't be afraid to be able to take care of yourself and pamper yourself a little bit. That's okay to do. And then number 10, give to someone in need that may need something more than what you do. I have found great healing in that. Help somebody else out. If you're having a bad day, go to a nursing home and talk to somebody. And you'll come out of there realizing that you got to drive there. You got to go out to eat. You had the freedom to go shopping and walk around on your own two feet. And sometimes just going in and loving on somebody that's in a wheelchair or bound in a room can readjust the focus on things in your own life, and it could kind of give you a reevaluation. Before we close out tonight, we have some people that won some prizes here that we're going to end up telling you about there. But a couple of quotes that I want to share with you. Lou Holtz, the old football coach, said this, and I think this is so true. It's not the load that breaks you down. It's the way you carry that load. And I think that is so important. It's not the load that breaks you down. It's the way you're carrying it. Maya Angelou, another great writer, says this, you are alone. You alone are enough. You have nothing to prove to anybody. You alone are enough. You can take care of this on your own. You can do this. You have the power within you to do this. And Mother Teresa, another person, this quote here is, it's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. And I thought those three quotes were absolutely awesome. The two people that won on the Facebook tonight, and you will get a copy of the Overcoming the Darkness, and I'll sign it for you and send it to you just as soon as that case is opened, and that'll probably be somewhere around February. We're going to keep these, courtesy to remind me of these. Christine Domino on Facebook is going to be one of our winners for that, and Rogeen Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, Rogeen is the other one on Facebook that won a copy of Overcoming the Darkness, and then Jennifer Hardwick, on Instagram, Jennifer, you won the new book, and Kayla Watson on Instagram won the other one. And Curtis is handing me something, and okay, a question from Lillian: how did your extended family accept your story? That's a question. That's a good question. My kids. My three boys, we talked about that on the radio show a few weeks ago when they were a guest on there, and they were tremendous champions and helped me with that, and we really grew closer together probably because I told the story. I don't have much extended family. Majority of my other family are all gone. I have some cousins and aunts and uncles, a few of them. On my father's side, I have yet to even discuss it with them. I don't even know where they're at anymore. I don't know if they're still alive. I would imagine when I told them, I tried to tell them years ago, it was a complete denial that my father would ever do anything like that to me. So I don't know if that has ever changed, but they never reached out to me. I don't even know how to get in touch with them in Illinois. My cousin, which I also claim is a long-lost sister of mine, my big sister, Ramonda, has handled this very well, and she's very accepting. And that's the kicker. When you reveal and tell people what has happened to you, you can't allow their reaction to cause you more pain. So a lot of parents, when they'd say that their mother, you know, your mother abused you, and you tell your dad, my mom abused me, And they say, there's no way, and they don't believe you. Don't allow that to be more pain, and it will be, But you have to continue on with what you believe in, and eventually, hopefully, they'll overcome that. But a lot of people, and if you're a parent, and if you have children, you have to be able to do what Kayla says in this book and what Kayla talks about all around the country. You have to be able to be open to what your children are saying to you. And when you say, children, you can come to me with anything. And when they do, open your mind up and accept it. Don't react. Just let it all soak in. And try to get all their feelings, because that's what they need right then, is acceptance and understanding and love. Now, I have stacks of other papers that and other things that I want to share with you. I may end up doing this in a little ebook. So what I want you to do now, as we close out tonight, if you wouldn't mind getting on Facebook or Instagram and just texting me or Curtis, they can get on there and just say, hey, I'd like to have the ebook. The next few days, I'll try to put this all in a little ebook format and get it all out of how to get through the holidays. I will try to reach out to Terry Wellbrook, that was going to be with us, and we had a technical glitch, and get her thoughts and put this all in maybe a PDF that we can kick out to you in the next few days. So if you're interested in that, a couple ways you can get in touch with me, okay? ShatteredByTheDarkness.com is the website. Shattered by the Darkness is the Facebook page. At Shattered by the Darkness is the Instagram. My phone number, and where's my phone at? I got a phone here. Oh, a phone number right here that people have been calling me on just any time of the day is 832-396-6525. I don't know if there's anybody else in this country that gives out their personal cell phone number to the entire world, but there it is, 832-396-6525, and I will answer. And if I can't get back to you right then, leave a message, and I will call you right back, and I want to talk. You don't have to do this alone. As we close down, and Don, give me one or two more minutes, and I'll be done. I want to let you know that you're not alone. If anybody, I'll be there. Call me, email me, reach out to me through any of those sites, and I will talk and try to help as much as I can and try to find you resources free of charge to get to you to be able to help you through these holidays, anxieties, and stress that you're experiencing. You're not alone. And there's always hope. And eventually, I want to promise you, you can always experience joy. Somewhere down the line, you'll be able to overcome this and hang in there. And there's a song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And it ends with, now have yourself a merry little Christmas. Now, And that's my wish for you. And I hope and pray that your holidays will find some glimmer of light in the middle of the what may be the darkest time of the year for you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Continue to reach out to me and join us on Breaking the Silence every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central Time on BBS Radio Network. Thank you for being here tonight. Good night. Have an awesome Christmas, the best Christmas that you can, and God bless you. Good night.